The Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
Katie George and the lovely Taylor Twellman filling in for the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app and ESPN News. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Taylor, we're going to get to what just went down in that sound we heard, but first, it's time for your SportsCenter update.
Major League Baseball officially canceled the 2020 All-Star Game on Friday and announced that the 2022 game would be played at Dodger Stadium. The LA Dodgers had been set to host this year's All-Star Game on July 14th before the coronavirus pandemic disrupted the start of the 2020 Major League Baseball season, which is now set to begin July 23rd or 24th. Atlanta will host the All-Star Game in 2021. The Washington Redskins on Friday issued a statement that they will undergo a thorough review of the team's name amid renewed pressure. In light of recent events around our country and feedback from our community, the Washington Redskins are announcing the team will undergo a thorough review of the team's name, the team said. This review formalizes the initial discussions that the team has been having with the league in recent weeks. The secret is out. That's right. Diehard batteries are now at Advance Auto Parts. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts, participating at CarQuest locations.
Thank you kindly. There's a lot to obviously unpack there, but how on earth could Dan Le Batard and Stu Gotts get your name wrong?
Because I think there's always a little truth in jest. And Mike Ryan and I are good buddies, as he is a massive football soccer fan around the world. I think Dan just had fun with it, but I love the fact that they got Max Brados's name wrong. That was even better, considering he's from Miami. They know each other very well. That just was a little truth and jest. I enjoy it. And by the way, my parents probably should have called me Tyler. It would have been a lot easier.
Well, for those who can't see us, I can see you, and you were laughing the entire time as you listened to it.
Of course,
so
I was.
Good fun there. The Washington Redskins are in the headlines, Taylor. Here's what we know. Earlier this week, Wall Street investment firms, multiple, contacted FedEx, PepsiCo, and Nike and asked them to pull their sponsorships from the Washington Redskins until the name is changed. And with that, they threatened to pull capital. These firms are worth a combined $620 billion, so not pennies and quarters by any means. From there, FedEx took it upon themselves to reach out and formally ask the Washington Redskins to change their name. Nike then followed suit hours later, not formally asking, but removing all Washington Redskins merchandise from the website, which is huge. While that then brought this morning, a statement from the Washington Redskins, who have addressed the growing pressure from those corporations such as Nike, FedEx, PepsiCo, and others, and they're going to conduct a thorough review. We expected a statement of some sort, obviously, from the Redskins, given the fact that there's so much pressure building. Do you feel like the corporate pressure is what is needed to make Dan Snyder finally change the name, which he has said and held true and fast, we will not change this name no matter what?
2013, capital letters, I will never change the name. Now, the statement is talking about this thorough review, and my initial reaction was rightfully so. Thorough review means they are changing that. However, when you dissect the statement that is short, sweet, to the point, they also use the word Redskins, the namesake, 10 mm-hmm. times. So that's where you lose me. You lose mm-hmm. me with that. If you're doing a thorough review on a namesake that is quote-unquote racist, then how are you using it 10 times in your PR statement? But I thought Myron Metcalf said it best on Freddie and Fitzsimmons, that he believes the walls are closing in on Dan Snyder.
But I don't care if this is about PR. I don't care if they're doing this because, you know, people are pressuring them from the outside. At this point, it doesn't matter to me. Just change the name. And I don't think Dan Snyder can litigate his way out of this. He can't deal with the other owners and say, help me out. This is about public perception. And the public right now is saying this has to change. And the people who write the checks are saying this has to change. One of those people being Fred Smith, who is the CEO and chairman of FedEx, who's also a minority owner of Washington's yep. team. So this isn't just happening from outside. This is one of his guys. This is someone in his house who's saying it's time to change. I don't know how Dan Snyder resists this. My guess is, Ian, going into the holiday weekend,
Friday afternoon, 4th of July weekend,
how symbolic is that, right? I think you're going to see him make the change going into 4th of July weekend.
This name, Taylor, has been debated time and time again. You mentioned 2013. Again, it was brought back up in 2016. For you and I, we don't know what that name means to Native Americans, but this is what it means to Crystal Echo Hawk, founder of Illumi Native Pawnee of Oklahoma.
The R word is the N word. That's a big statement. And it's not a statement that I or any other Native American takes lightly, but it is deeply offensive. And if you look in the Oxford Dictionary across the line, it's been defined as a racial slur because of that atrocious history of genocide, forced removal, all of those things. That's what that term goes back to. So when we say that the R word is the N word, it is because it represents hate and violence against Native Americans, and that's why it needs to go. It has no place in today's society, and certainly not within professional sports.
So when the topic was broached and the debate ensued in 2013, which led Dan Snyder to the all caps, the name will never be changed response, and then again in 2016, which led to a Washington Post survey that Dan Snyder held onto that said 90% of the Native Americans polled out of 504 not offended by it. For me, I didn't know where to fall on the line, right? Which side to fall on of, is this offensive or is this not? Because you were getting contradicting information, Taylor. I don't know about you, but if 1%, 5%, 10%, whatever it may be, associates the R word to the N word, I don't know why we're still having this conversation. Because if it is that offensive and derogatory of a term to Native American people, when they see it, when they read it, when they hear people yell it,
yeah,
then the name should be changed. Are you in agreement with that?
Absolutely, Katie. Absolutely. I don't care if it's 2%. If a word is equivalent to the N-word, I'm done. I'm out. Done. Sign it. Change it now. It's over. But what's been so conflicting for me is every time I read an article from anyone, it gives a different perspective of that. Where you hear J.P. Finley, who was on this show previously, right, earlier on today, where NBC Sports Washington grew up in Washington, D.C., and he said Native Americans in Seattle when he was on a trip are wearing Redskins and living by that logo and what it was and that namesake. So, but Katie, I'm of the mindset, if it's 5%, it's 2%, it's 10%, it's 50%, if it is at all equivalent to the N-word, then we're done. There's no conversation. It's over. And by the way, you'll survive. Dan Snyder and the franchise, you'll survive. Absolutely. You're in the NFL. That machine runs on whatever. It doesn't matter what your team name is. I don't care what anyone tries to tell me. By the way, if the Dallas Cowboys change their name, you don't think they'd survive 10 years from now, Katie? Of course they would.
Of course they would.
Of course they would. It's still the Cowboys. I get the brand, but it's the NFL. We're the only country in the world that plays the sport. The league is literally the League of America. Mm-hmm. It's going to survive, so you're okay. It's not going to be that damaging to you. Now, Dan Snyder and his legal team will say, well, this is what we bought. We bought the name. They can't lose me with all that. If it's at all equivalent to the N-word, we're done. The conversation is a waste of time. Change it now. My only question, and I don't know where I stand on this, is every time I read something, it's not of that magnitude.
Sure.
And so the water's murky about this word. There's no murky water about the N-word, Katie.
Right.
There's none. There's no discussion. We don't have discussions like this about the N-word. Yet when it comes to the Redskins, you read reports that, no, Native Americans are okay by it. And then you hear Crystal say, no, it's equivalent to the N-word. That's where I'm just like, is this what the thorough review is? Because if it is what the thorough review is, by the way, you just used the N-word 10 times in your statement.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not 100% convinced that this thorough review means they're changing the name. I'm not. Because that is a blatant use of that word in a statement, which, by the way, Ron Rivera also compared this to the military and brought in the military to this. I'm just more confused by the statement the more we talk about it.
And Taylor is mentioning in that statement that was released earlier this morning, Ron Rivera, head coach of the Washington Redskins, remarked, "This issue is of personal importance to me, and I look forward to working closely with Dan Snyder to make sure we continue the mission of honoring and supporting Native Americans and our military," which, to be fair, military comes a bit out of left field. Missing baseball. Tune in tomorrow night for an MLB Classic doubleheader. Game 6 of the 2011 World Series and Game 7 of the 2016 World Series presented by Progressive Insurance. Coverage begins at 6 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coming up, is Cam Newton a good fit for the Patriots? We'll talk about that next. It's the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
The Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
This is your first time hosting, by the way. Talk about hitting a home run at your first at bat. Well done.
Oh, you're too kind. You're too kind. We got on the production meeting call, and Taylor was like, "Why don't you drive, Katie?" And I was like, "Well, I've never done it before, so no thanks." And he's like, no, you do it. You do it." So here we are, sweating through a couple shirts later. But this is the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News. Katie George, Taylor Twellman filling in. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests join us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. A little update here with an ever-developing story out of Washington. The Washington Post's Rick Mace tweeted, "Big update here. A source familiar with discussions between team and league say review will result in a new team name. You know where this leads," the source said. "They're working on that process. It will end with a new name. We will keep you up to date as that story develops further." My friend in Boston, big news out of the NFL, notwithstanding in Washington, but up in Boston, Cam Newton is going to be a Patriot. That was released on Sunday night, as well as when their penalties for filming the sidelines of the Bengals and the Browns was also released. So coincidental timing, I'm sure. But Cam Newton is headed to Foxborough. The conversation obviously started with his deal and how the Patriots got him on the cheap. And then the conversation pivoted to his health. If he's healthy, what can he do for the New England Patriots as a potential starter? And then the conversation pivoted to how will Josh McDaniels cater his offense to Cam Newton's strengths, and how can Cam Newton get up to speed as quickly as possible with the new system and the new verbiage? And it feels like there's a new angle to this, Taylor, every single day. And later on in the week, we are now at the conversation point of how will Bill Belichick's personality mesh and complement Cam Newton's personality? Will Bill Belichick be okay with the way that Cam dresses or the way that he handles post-game press conferences? Will Bill Belichick allow Cam Newton to be Cam Newton and celebrate in the end zone with the Superman pose? Which feels to me these conversations are a little thin, because knowing what I've heard about Bill Belichick, when it comes down to it, if you're putting in the work, you're not a distraction when you get to the facility, and you produce on the field when it matters and win football games, he doesn't care about the rest of that stuff that goes on outside of the field. Your thoughts?
Absolutely. Now, the one thing that we need to be abundantly clear with, it doesn't matter if you're yellow, white, black, doesn't matter what you are. If you distract from the quote-unquote team, then he's got an issue. Then he's got an issue. But you said it. If he plays, if he succeeds, and he buys in, doesn't matter what color you are, doesn't matter what position you are, you're all in. So this conversation about allowing Cam Newton to celebrate, well, what are you talking about? Rob Gronkowski turned touchdowns into a melee, and it turned into a marketing scheme for him called the Gronk Spike. He's not going to care if it's Superman. He's not going to care if it's Cam Newton. Now, number one on the jersey has always been a sticking point for Bill Belichick. That's historically, that has nothing to do with Cam Newton being a black quarterback and Tom Brady being a white quarterback or Jared Steele. That's the number one, because that's just Bill Belichick and the way he's looked at that number. That's going to be an interesting talking point, Katie. I'm okay with that conversation, because that's going to show what it is and how Cam's buying in. But Cam on Instagram simply said, "This has nothing to do about money. This is about respect."
Which I love.
What do you think Bill Belichick this is about? This respect. Is about respect for Bill, because everyone and anyone is talking about, can Bill win without Tom, and can Tom win without Bill? And as Tom gets Gronk back and those two are playing baby games and talking about all this, having fun now because they couldn't have fun for the last 20 years, even though they were winning games and winning divisions and going to the Super Bowl, I'm confused on what defines fun. But Bill's going to allow Cam to be Cam. I don't care what anyone says. He's allowed other athletes to be that. And Damian Woody, a former player of Bill Belichick, said there really is a misconception about Belichick's mindsets on players celebrating.
When I heard this whole thing and I saw the clip as well, I literally laughed. I laughed. You know why? Because I've been in the building. And the one thing that Coach Belichick always would talk about is, he would always talk about, listen, you work your behind off all week. Nobody works you harder than I do. So when game day comes around, I want you to celebrate. I want you to be happy because you earned the right to do that on game day.
I hope we do see the Superman pose out of Cam Newton. I hope we do see in-your-face celebrations, because that would mean, Taylor, that Cam Newton is having fun. And Cam Newton is back to being Cam Newton, a unbelievable player with so many different strengths in his arsenal. He needs to get back to having fun, which I think first starts with his health. If his foot is healthy, if his shoulder feels good, we're going to see that from him. If he's put in an offensive system that caters to his strengths and his abilities, I think we're going to see that. So yes, a big part of it is the mental aspect of the game. Cam Newton hasn't looked like he's had a lot of fun in the last couple of years, not barring the start of 2018, which he got off to a 6-2 start. He looked phenomenal. He had a 67.3 completion percentage to start that season, and then he got hurt. If we see Cam Newton having fun and Bill Belichick allowing it, which I believe he absolutely does, to your point about Rob Gronkowski, then the New England Patriots are going to be feared. They're another team to fear now in the AFC East, which wasn't the case prior to Sunday night.
But let me ask you this, Katie. If you see a different Cam Newton and one that is not celebrating, are you going to say he's not having fun?
No, I might just say he's laser focused. And this is about, for him, revitalizing his career, taking an opportunity that, like you said, is not about the money, but is about respect, taking that opportunity and doing something with it. And to me, there were a lot of people who said, wow, I can't believe he signed for such little money. I can't believe he took this opportunity. He could have just waited, let the season start, have somebody get injured, and there would have been a clearer path for him to walk into a starting position. To me, I like the guts that Cam Newton is showing. He's like, look, I know my worth. I know what I'm capable of. I haven't been healthy. Teams haven't been able to work me out in person and have physicals in person because of the coronavirus. I understand that there is some skepticism, but I want to prove myself because I am a starting quarterback in this league. I like the guts and the hunger that he showed, but said, hey, give me this low deal with the upside of maybe $7 million, who knows, because it's incentive laden, but let me prove myself to you that I can still compete at the highest level, that I can still be one of the best starting quarterbacks in this league, revitalize my career, which parlays into a much bigger deal down the road. I appreciated that from him, just from a competitive standpoint. I know you as a competitor probably do too.
Yeah, absolutely. I also look at it, and he says, and anyone else, and this has been the conversation for the last 4 days here in Boston, is whether or not he was brought in to be a starter. Like, what? What are we talking about right now? Absolutely, he was brought in. You really believe that Julian Edelman would post a picture of a quote-unquote backup quarterback wearing number one with the caption Newton, Massachusetts? Get out, lose me with that. He's being brought in here to compete. Now, I'm not saying that if his physical stamina isn't there and he's not fully fit and he's not performing, that Bill Belichick won't bench him. He absolutely will. He does not care about that, because there is no financial problem with his contract. It's easy. You don't have an issue with that. Who the better player will play. But don't tell me that Cam Newton's coming in to back up Jared Stidham. Nah, no chance. If he's fit, if he's healthy, he's ready to go. And also, everyone else trying to tell me, ooh, how will Josh McDaniels use him? Really? You guys forget that Josh McDaniels is the one that used Tim Tebow in Denver?
Yep.
And the one that was strongly suggesting drafting Lamar Jackson 2 years ago? to back up Tom Brady. This is what McDaniels kind of wants as well. This is the way the NFL has gone. So if Cam's healthy, he's fine. I'm not going to judge Cam's success, whether or not he does Superman, whether or not he celebrates touchdowns. I will judge Cam's success by how many games they win, how much he contributes to that, and the coaching from Bill Belichick is going to help Cam Newton. And all of it, from Bill's perspective, is to catch Don Shula and out of spite to Gronkowski and Brady, consistently telling the world they didn't have enough fun.
Without a doubt, Cam Newton, he's got some time to dive into that playbook, to get acclimated with the Patriots. Somebody who doesn't have time, the NBA players have resumed practicing in practice facilities in their home market. They are headed to Orlando next week. We'll talk about the latest on the NBA season restart in Orlando next. It's the Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.
The Dan Le Batard Show on ESPN Radio.
No Dan Le Batard, no Stu Gotch, just Katie George and Taylor Twellman filling in this afternoon. Thank God is right. Orlando is playing home to the MLS for the next 7 weeks. The NBA is gearing up to travel to Orlando as well for the next few months. We'll get into that with ESPN NBA front office insider Bobby Marks. But first, Taylor, it's time for your SportsCenter update.
Major League Baseball has canceled the 2020 All-Star Game due to the impact of the COVID-19 pandemic. The Dodgers had been set to host this year's All-Star Game on July 14th before the coronavirus pandemic disrupted the start of the Major League Baseball season this year, which is now set to begin July 23rd or 24th. Major League Baseball said the Dodgers will host the 2022 All-Star Game next year, 2021. That All-Star Game will be played in Atlanta. The Washington Redskins have announced they are reviewing the team name. Quote, "This process allows the team to take into account not only the proud tradition and history of the franchise, but also the input from our alumni, the organization, the sponsors, the National Football League, and the local community it is proud to represent." End quote. Owner Dan Snyder said in a statement earlier today on Thursday, FedEx, which has naming rights to Washington Stadium, requested that the team change the name. These days, it's good to be prepared, and that includes your vehicle. That's why Advance Auto Parts has free vehicle battery testing and installation with no appointment needed. Also, curbside pickup on any order. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See more for details.
Thank you, kind sir. Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider, joins us on the Shell Pennzoil Performance Line. Bobby, thank you so much. I hope you and your family are well. The NBA has now seen 25 players test positive for the coronavirus. The Nets, the Nuggets, the Clippers have also shut down their facilities and their home markets over the last week due to positive cases of the coronavirus. What's the confidence level like among players, coaches, and staff members getting ready to head to Orlando?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still, I still think there's a confidence level and certainly a trust level. I do find it pretty interesting, Katie, that, you know, out of the 25, you know, tests, positive player tests, we haven't heard anything about the Toronto Raptors. And Toronto has been down here and right up the road from me and down in Southwest Florida. We all know that the state of Florida has been ravaged with positive tests. I think yesterday we had 10,000 positives, which set a high. They're staying in a hotel. They are not in a bubble environment like they'll be in a week in Orlando. They are practicing at Florida Gulf Coast right up the road. So I think if there is anything to come out of it, I think that is certainly a positive here. You know, certainly things can change in the next couple of weeks. But, yeah, I mean, certainly you don't want any. But I think where we were last week at 16, now we're at 25, I think, it's interesting, 840 staff members, which includes coaches, tested, 10 out of those tested positive. So I do think the numbers are, you know, somewhat relatively low. I just think that what we see in the coming week here, when teams start to arrive in Orlando on between July 7th, 8th, and 9th, who tests positive, if there is a little bit of an outbreak, how they can try to mitigate that in those days there, I think that's going to probably set the tone as far as if this bubble type environment can succeed or if we're going to have to put a stop to it down the road.
Bobby, I'm glad you brought up Toronto and their situation, because looking at Major League Soccer and their bubble over the last 7 to 8 days, you know, what happens in one team's home market
is different compared to everyone else. And then once you get into the bubble, it may, you know, it may impact everyone else. How closely is the NBA looking at what Major League Soccer is doing and how that bubble's reacting with teams arriving this week?
Yeah, I think you have to look at it closely, and certainly where you know, I think that there were six players on the Dallas team that had tested positive. I think, where the tests were before they arrived compared to how. I think it's all about how, as I said, how do you kind of mitigate against this from spreading? If there are positive tests inside the bubble, how do you isolate and protect everyone else? I think you are a little more fortunate that you have three hotels that you're using in the NBA. But yeah, I think it would be naive if you're not paying attention as far as what's going on with Major League Soccer. I think it's different with baseball because they're all in their home markets and they're going to stay in their home markets.
Yep. We're talking with Bobby Marks, ESPN NBA front office insider. Bobby, it doesn't matter what league you talk about, there are some people who believe no matter which championship is won, there's going to be an asterisk next to it. But on a Wednesday conference call, Giannis and Milwaukee head coach Mike Budenholzer both agreed that they feel like this year could be the toughest championship you could ever win and mean just as much as any of the other NBA championships. How do you view this year's championship?
Yeah, I think Doc Rivers even said that whoever wins shouldn't get an asterisk, but a gold star, because we're basically dealing with this day by day here. You know, Gordon Hayward just did a conference call in Boston, and he mentioned, hey, there's going to be a time in August where I'm going to have to leave the team because my wife is due. And, you know, that's an interest. And there's a lot of players in that same situation. It's funny, when you work in the NBA or you play in the NBA, you either get married in the month of August or you have kids in the month of August because they don't think you're playing. And so I think those type of situations are going to be unique because, hey, you know, Gordon would have to come back and quarantine for 4 days. So you would lose him for maybe a couple games here. The thought of teams arriving next week, you could see teams like either a Los Angeles teams and Milwaukee being there until October. The latest is October 13th. From a front office perspective, you have to make sure you have a list of substitute players ready to go. We don't know what type of shape these guys are going to be in. Certainly injuries are going to be a big factor here. So, yeah, there's a lot of different obstacles that teams are going to face that they probably wouldn't have faced if we were, you know, if nothing had ever happened and the playoffs were, you know, started in mid-April and ended at the end of June.
I've got one more for you, and this might be a little bit in the weeds, but there are some people who have said that the Washington Wizards and the Phoenix Suns did not deserve to get a trip to Orlando, that they should have just capped it at 20 teams. But now when you look at the news that's come out of Brooklyn, obviously KD is not going because of injury, Kyrie isn't, but DeAndre Jordan tested positive and says he's going to opt out. Wilson Chandler also is going to opt out. You've got the Washington Wizards sitting six games back from Brooklyn, and then 5.5 games back for Orlando. I'm not suggesting that the Washington Wizards can play all the way to take a 7th or 8th seed spot, but Bobby, isn't it now feasible for them to at least get within 4 games and force a play-in tournament for one of those seeds, given what's happening with Brooklyn?
Oh, I think it's definitely possible, and I think the Nets' first 2 games are Orlando and Washington, so I think that will determine as far as, you know, if the Nets go 0-2, I think that certainly opens up the window that there probably will be some type of playing game here. I think it will be interesting as far as we already saw Davis Bertans in Washington not playing because of his free agent status. What is, you know, if Bradley Beal is going to play like Bradley Beal that we last saw in mid-March, yeah, we're going to get a play-in game with Brooklyn and Washington here. And I think for me, it was all about, Washington and Phoenix and even some of those other bubble teams was there was so much uncertainty as far as what was going to happen. I thought 16 teams was probably the right way to go because we just keep the numbers down and we keep less people, out of that controlled environment. But you're right. I mean, we could potentially, I think more likely we're going to see probably a playing game in for that 8 seed.
Bobby, I'm going to use 2 players as an example for my question. This morning I was watching the bottom line on ESPN, and I see Gordon Hayward's quote saying he'll leave for the birth of his child, and they'll make that decision when it comes to it. I then see Dwight Howard is on the roster for the LA Lakers. Is he going to go? Is there just going to be this uncertainty throughout the entire time with all of these players moving in and out?
Yeah, and it's funny how the league did it, and rightfully so. We've had basically soft deadlines on a lot of different things. You know, there was a soft deadline on that players needed to notify teams by June 24th that they were going to elect not to go. There was a soft deadline as far as teams had to submit rosters by July 1st as far as who was going to go. And, yeah, I mean, Dwight Howard is on the eligible roster in L.A. because if you take him off and you substitute him, Howard is now ineligible to play for the rest of the playoffs. And that's why I said this is we're going to treat this as far as a day-by-day basis because these guys might get to Orlando in the upcoming week and go through about a week of training and figure out, hey, this is not for me. Maybe a player like Victor Oladipo might, we've written about him as far as he's coming off that injury. He did play 14 games. He might get to a point where he says, you know what, I want to go home and rehab myself, and then Indiana would have to replace him with a substitute player. I think where we get a little bit of closure is when we get to the playoffs because only players who test positive for the coronavirus can be replaced, not players as far as who leave the campus on their own to go back. So, as I said, day by day, it's very fluid as far as who is actually going to be on these rosters when we get going on July 30th.
Well, confidence and trust are needed to make this thing work, and right now the NBA has both. Bobby Marks, thank you so much for taking the time. We really appreciate your insight.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Coming up, how does Major League Baseball's best player feel about this upcoming season, and how concerned should we be about the recent coronavirus outbreak in the MLS bubble? We'll talk about that next, but first, Advance Auto Parts has added another winner to their roster, Die Hard Batteries. That's right, Die Hard Batteries are now at Advance. And if you're a stat freak like me, you know that means Advance got a player with unrivaled reliability, durability, and power. Plus, you can get free testing and free installation with purchase, and you don't even need an appointment. Advance your auto at Advance Auto Parts and participating CarQuest locations. See stores for details.
The Dan Le Batar Show on ESPN Radio.
I'm sorry, did they say Sam Darnold looks like a Lego police officer? Is that what I heard? Because to be fair, that's a really good comparison. Like, I don't hate that one. That one's spot on. The Dan Le Batar Show with Stu Gotts on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN News continues, except without those dudes, Katie George and Taylor Twellman filling in. Taylor, today is the first day Major League Baseball teams could resume practices in their home ballparks. Jeff Fletcher, the Angels beat writer, just tweeted a picture that you pointed out during the break, and there are Angels players in the infield, in the outfield, and Mike Trout is circled in the picture between first and second base with a mask on. What do you make of that? I knew masks were necessary when they're coming to and from the facilities and the ballparks, but I didn't know that we would see players working out and practicing in masks out on the field.
Yeah, that's different. We've seen players in Europe when they're sitting on the bench have to have a mask on, right? So we've seen that, but they're not currently, in anaerobic or aerobic training, right? So they're just sitting there and protecting each other and protecting themselves. Now, what we don't know from the picture, though, Katie, is it is a still photo. So is it Mike Trout has it around his neck? He's got it around his mouth until he's in the outfield away from other players. It's going to be interesting to see how Mike Trout reacts. But recently on a Zoom call, he revealed he's still nervous about going into the regular season.
Honestly, still don't feel comfortable. Obviously with the baby coming, there's a lot of stuff going through my mind right now, my wife's mind, my family, just trying to be the safest and most cautious way to get through a season. I've told Billy, I've told a bunch of the guys, it's going to be tough. I got to be really cautious these next few weeks.
Someone and a group of people that are feeling more nervous as well, not just Mike Trout and other MLB players, is players from the MLS, Taylor, who you know very, very well. They're down in Orlando. Teams have been arriving since June 24th to resume their season at ESPN's Wide World of Sports. And 9 people from FC Dallas have now tested positive for the coronavirus within the bubble. Now, they haven't come in contact with other teams. They've been isolated and quarantined since those positive results came back. But what's the vibe among players and teams and coaches who have now arrived in Orlando or are getting ready to do this thing?
I think they're anxious, Katie, and rightfully so. You know, I don't think anyone's trying to downplay COVID-19 and the impact it has. And what we don't know is whether or not these athletes that are testing positive. Now, there's a report out there that there's one, and it just came out literally 25 seconds ago, that the Columbus Crew have announced one positive test. One player has had two positive tests in the same day, same time frame, being down there. So you look at it, and it's over 890 people have been tested, and FC Dallas has nine of them, nine players, and the Columbus Crew have one. Now, are they asymptomatic? Katie, no one really knows that, right? And that's the difficult part, and I think a lot of athletes that are going into this bubble from the NBA and Major League Soccer want to know that, but obviously with HIPAA laws, you can't get into that, and
sure,
that's up to the said player. There's an anxious feeling to that. I will say, though, listening to Adrian Heath, who was on our show earlier, that once you're in the bubble, once you're tested negative, they've done a very good job of setting it up for those people to succeed. But you can't lie. You can't sugarcoat it. Once the virus has infiltrated the bubble, I think a lot of people are going to be more anxious, and rightfully so, especially when you hear Mike Trout, who's having a baby in August, why he's nervous. But lucky for him, he's not going into a bubble. I would say anxious is the best word to describe that.
And rightfully so. Positive tests are going to happen, but it's how the league handles it that matters. And the NBA is going to be watching the MLS as it moves forward. Coming up next is First Take, Your Take, and Clinton Yates will continue to react to today's news about the potential name change in Washington. Thanks for listening. Taylor, thank you so much for joining me. This is the Dan Le Batard Show with Stu Gotts on ESPN Radio and ESPN News.